You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone Franz. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
The second grave precept is to not steal or to not take what has not been given freely. On the surface, on the very, very, very surface of this, it's easy. Just don't burgle, right? And when you're at work and you open the fridge and there's one piece of pizza that your coworker left in there and it looks really good and you know that they didn't come to work today, don't eat it. Just don't. It's just this simple act of refraining from reaching out and grabbing the thing that you want. Just don't do that. No one's offering that to you. It may look like the universe is offering it to you, but it's not. That's simple. But the fact is, most of us, I suspect, are doing fine on that level of this precept most of the time. Just below that surface level, though, it gets so hard. So hard. Because what is stealing? What is ours? What is ours to take and what is ours to hold? Take a moment and ask yourself, what is mine? Unquestionably mine. I don't think it's such a simple question. Centuries ago, we knew how things came to us. We, our ancestors, did. Right? You knew the baker and you knew the farmer. And maybe by just knowing those two people, you knew the entire human chain that brought you this bread. You knew the family that raised the sheep and you knew the family that made the sweaters. That's it. Today we don't know anything. We're sitting in a building. We don't know who built it. We don't know how it came to us. We don't know what might have been stolen from someone else along the way that was then handed to us. And then, of course, there's the ground that the building is on. And we actually do know a little bit about that. You can't walk very far without finding yourself in this mess of receiving constantly, but not knowing how it comes. We say we have this meal verse. We reflect on the effort that brought us this food and consider how it comes to us. We reflect on our virtue and practice and whether we are worthy of this offering. We regard greed as the obstacle to freedom of mind. We regard this meal as medicine to sustain our life. For the sake of realization, we now receive this food. So the first thing that we do is we consider how something arrives. And again, more often than not because we can trace it back to the beginning, but because it's a way of kind of blowing our minds open. Seeing that this is connected to this, which is connected to this, which is connected to this, and feeling sustained and feeling supported by something huge. So I want to start this discussion of this precept by saying I think we're kind of stuck. I don't know a way out of this. I don't know how to simply not steal. That act of refraining, in a sense, it's too late. We can make choices, we can be aware of the question, but then we take another step. And we're just in it again. Always up to our necks. So it's not a puzzle we solve. It's not about deciding what we will and will not take. It has to be about something else, I think. If this is alive for us, if it's not just a place of hopelessness, then I think we have to switch the angle. Not to this question of stealing, but to something at the base, which is about how we hold things, how we keep things, how we imagine that there are things that we have, so that at least when things come to us, we might be able to hold them differently. We might be able to undercut the grabbing. As I see it, there are three possible antidotes. Not antidotes. Erase the word antidote. Nothing fixes anything. Right? I was reading the other day about the Catholic Church selling indulgences in the Middle Ages. This is not that, right? I can't offer you something that offsets the rest. Just a way not to be stuck in it, right? So while all this is coming in, maybe something goes out. One has to do with the idea of simply, how do we receive anything apart from the question of whether we should or not, apart from the question of whether we deserve it or not, or we are worthy of it, apart from the question of whether it was given freely, how do we receive things? How do we hold them? In this community, we don't eat with oryoki, with the traditional bowls. I want to say someday, but I don't know. Well, it's a lot of work. But when you receive food in the bowls, you hold them. You hold the bowl like this with your fingers and you hold it up. Right? This is a gesture of receiving. But when you offer something as an offering, this is the gesture of offering. It's the same. Right? In both cases, it's this gesture of humility. It's a gesture of gratitude. It's putting yourself a little below and putting the offering, regardless of its direction, a little bit higher. So if we go back to that question of what we think we have, whether we're right or wrong, can we receive it? Can we receive it again? Can we receive it with some gratitude and some humility? Can you wake up in the morning and go outside and look at your car and feel gratitude for this thing that usually either you take for granted or you get angry about because it doesn't always do what it's supposed to do? It doesn't serve you properly. Mm-hmm. Can you shift the relationship to one that starts with thank you? It's not purely symbolic and it's not purely ceremonial when in a Zen context we hold up our food and we say thank you. It's supposed to be a habit. Right? It's not a show. So there's receiving. The next is letting go. What can you let go of? And there's so many layers to this. What can you actually let go of that's physical? What do you have for no reason? What do you have that you could share? What do you have that would benefit someone else more? What do you have that you've been saving? But if you're pressed on why, it gets complicated. We say there are four levels of generosity, right? The first is just simply giving things. The second is offering protection. The third is offering fearlessness. And the fourth is the transmission of the Dharma. The story is that you can't do one without having worked on the one below. So if you want to master, for example, fearlessness, first, you just have to give someone a sandwich. You have to give someone your time. You have to listen. That's what makes you capable of protecting. And that's what makes you capable of fearlessness. So we start there. What is it that you're holding on to that you can just drop? But it's not just stuff. Because the question isn't, again, it isn't exactly about what we have or don't have or what we've taken or haven't taken. It's about this reflex of holding. Holding is what we do. What do you hold on to? Not material. That you can't imagine letting go of. Because if you did, you wouldn't be you anymore. Or you wouldn't have the same value anymore. Or you wouldn't have the same future anymore. What's the thing, you know, what's the Jenga piece that if I say I'm going to pull it out, you start to panic? I played this game today. I have all sorts of things. Some of them are projects, things that I've always said I will do one day. And what if I just said, no, I won't? It's like suddenly I'm falling from a great height when I think about that. The other one that comes to mind immediately for me is this. What if I let go of this, of the robes and the great haircut and the roll? And then the question has to be, and it goes back to the first part, how am I holding this? Right? Am I constantly receiving it? Or am I hoarding it? Am I keeping it in my pocket, zipped up, so that I won't lose it no matter what? Or am I holding it up like this? As something that I know is coming to me and that I have to take care with. I have to ask myself that all the time. Because if I'm not holding it in this way, if I'm not receiving it in that way, then it can start to look a lot like I'm stealing it. because I'm no longer receiving it in the way that it was offered. This could be anything. That's letting go. Just releasing our grasp on whatever it is. And then the third is actually offering. What can we offer up? There's not a lot of difference between letting go and offering, I think. But offering is a good, it's a push. Right? It makes sure that we put things back up here. And so when we eat, we receive the food, but we also offer the food to everyone. And we don't just offer the food, we offer ourselves. We acknowledge that the point of the food, it says here, is medicine to sustain our life. Right? We're agreeing to be fueled so that we can then give. It can never go just one way. We say the three vehicles are giver, receiver, and gift. And it's a fun mental exercise to imagine in any moment, are you the giver, or are you the receiver, or are you the gift? But the spoiler alert is, it's just one thing. Like all the precepts, if we stare at this one hard enough, it's enough. The other nine become footnotes. You can spend your life on just this. It goes to who you are in society. It goes to who you are in the deepest sense of who you are. It goes to your function. And that's where I'll stop.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.